like this and he can give threats like that. I need to start looking for different options. Now, this threat of talaq. But before I go on to mention that, I want to first share with you one hadith of Muslim Sharif on the strength of Umm Kulthum radiallahu ta'ala anha. Umm Kulthum radiallahu anha says, "Lam asma'hu," in the riwayat of Muslim, "yurakhisu fi shay'in mimma yaquluhu an-nas." I have heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam giving concession on three occasions where lies is permissible. Now first, let's appreciate and understand the gravity of the crime when a person speaks a lie. To start off, Allah says, "La'natullahi 'alal kafirin." Allah's curse is on the liar. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Ala unabbi'ukum bi akbar al-kaba'ir." Must I not tell you the most grave of sins? Sahaba said, "Tell us." He said, "Ashirku billah." Ascribing partners with Allah. "Wa 'uququl walidain." Disobedience to your parents. "Wa kana muttaki'an fajalas." He was reclining, he got up. And he said, "Ala wa shahadat az-zur." "Ala wa qawl az-zur." "Ala wa shahadat az-zur." A false, a false evidence and the utterance of a lie. Sahaba said he repeated himself so much that as passionate as we were to hear from him more, but at this juncture, the thought came in our mind, if only he observed silence, we got the message. But he kept on harping and repeating and reiterating the prohibition of lies. Now this is the gravity of the lie. Yet there are three situations where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says lies is permissible. Hence it makes us understand the importance of these aspects, that such an inflexible matter has been made flexible. Number one, al-islah bayna an-nas. Go unite two Muslim brothers. Go to brother Muhammad and say, "My friend, why are you having this difference and this bickering? Yusuf has good words for you. Really, he has good words for you." Go to brother Yusuf and say, "I met with Muhammad last night. Wallah, he really wants to patch up the relation." The next time they meet, the reality is no one had said anything. But just to bring about unity, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he is not a liar. He will be rewarded on this lie. Why? It is the means of uniting two. And at the same time, you can imagine the gravity of the sin of this uniting two. The second is in battle, because the very nature of battle is deceptive. So in battle, to camouflage, to disguise, to keep your movements. And the third is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Hadithu rajuli zawjata," the relation between husband and wife. You know, we need to come on to a save the talaq, a save the marriage campaign. You know, to cement the relation and to put an end to this talaq. What did Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? The dialogue, the discussion, the relation between husband and wife, there is flexibility in this regard also to cement the relation. Now let me share with you two incidents that appear both in the books of hadith. The first is in Hayatul Sahaba, where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to send Hazrat Mu'adh radiallahu anhu to go and collect zakat. You know, there was from the official state, there were people that would go and collect zakat. And he was also sent by Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. During the reign of Umar radiallahu anhu, Sayyidina Mu'adh went out to go and collect some zakat. And whatever he collected from the people, he then, disposed of it and discharged of it. When he returned back, then his wife asked him, generally when people go and collect, then people also give them some gifts and some presents. So where's the presents and where's the gifts? So Mu'adh radiallahu anhu said, no, Umar had sent someone with me to monitor me and to see that everything is transparent and there is no, disloyalty in the funds and everything is discharged adequately. So I made sure that I discharged every cent and I have nothing. So the wife said, but that's very strange. Nabi alayhi salam used to trust you and he did not send anyone to monitor you. Abu Bakr relied on you. Umar suddenly has a question mark to your integrity. And she made an issue about it. And she started telling everyone, but how can Umar send someone to monitor my husband as if he will embezzle the funds? So anyway, the news started spreading and it reached the ears of Umar. So Umar radiallahu anhu called Mu'adh and he said, "Mu'adh, but I didn't send anyone with you." He said, "Forgive me, O Amir al-Mu'mineen, I had no other excuse to tell my wife. I really didn't know what to tell her, so Umar radiallahu anhu had a good smile, and then he gave some money, and he said, "Give it to your wife and make her happy." So to cement the relation, even this form was allowed. The second hadith appears in Dari Qutni on page 44. Abdullah ibn Rawaha, as I mentioned, brothers, study the social life of Sahaba. Study the social life of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They were humans from humans. And understand how Allah wants us to conduct our life. Forget about the filth that we have been exposed to through billboards and advertisements. That will only corrupt our life. That will only jeopardize our relation. Anyway, he was, reclining with his wife on the bed. And she fell off to sleep. And he had the need, the human need, to approach his slave girl. فَقَامَ إِلَى جَارِيَةٍ لَهُ. So he stood up, excused himself, and went to, have relations.